Okay, Sunday night. I don't have my paper with me. How can I forget? Le'ilu Nishmas, Chavis Halbavas, Le'ilu Nishmas, Chaim Ephraim Ben Nosson. We're up to the fourth shiur of this semester, the third shiur of the fourth parak of Shaar Bitachon. And we got into a discussion last week of eating healthy and exercising, and where does that fit in? Why? Because the Chavis Halbavas was talking about the essentials, like essential life, and he said the essentials of life is really more than anything else. It should be easier to realize that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree that decrees whether we're alive or not, and therefore the basics of shelter, of clothing, of whatever. And then he has to launch into a reiteration of the importance of Hishtadlus, because he was so strong that that's up to Hashem, and that's clearly up to Hashem, and it's a no-brainer. It's easy to realize that Hashem will determine our health and our lives and our the essentials of life. It's certainly easier to realize that it's Hashem's decree. So then he has to reiterate the importance of Hishtadlus. So we got into a discussion last week about where you eating healthy, and so I felt it was a very worthwhile discussion, and I wasn't happy with my own. I said I want to come up with better guidelines, so I did so. So I thought about it. But first, I want to read you. Hashem sent my way an article. That appeared in articles, nothing special, but a column by someone. I want to read it to you. It hit a chord, and it happens to be what we were talking about. So if you'll indulge me, I'll read it to you. Last week, it's a column by some columnist somewhere, politicalmaven.com. Okay. Marilyn Penn. Is there a mitzvah b'shem Omro? Probably not Jewish. I don't know. Maybe it is still. It's good midos to say something b'shem Omro. It's not that you're doing them a favor. Okay, so it's Marilyn Penn. But we don't know who that is. So. Last week, a young 20-something woman with cancerous tumors in her lungs and liver appeared on Oprah. Everybody here knows what that is, right? Yeah, not just me. To talk about her remarkable ability to lead a high-powered, energetic life with a terminal disease. Chris Carr was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer several years ago, but instead of giving in to a bleak prognosis, she changed her diet, sought out alternative treatments, got married, created a documentary film and book about her experiences. Ms. Carr is photogenic, articulate, and appealing in an all-American way. As she put it, all of us are terminal, but some of us live life to the fullest in the moment of each day. Then the columnist says as follows. As the self-help capital of the world, America likes to believe that diet, exercise, and positive thinking are all it takes to conquer disease. Now, there's a fellow, Tim Russert. Anybody ever hear of him? There was a very famous person. Everybody here heard of Meet the Press. Everybody knows this. Meet the Press is like, Meet the Press is a show. It's like a news conference, but it was like it's from the 1950s. It's an extremely hush of a show. It's not looking for headlines. It's not looking for sensationalism. It's an extremely hush of a show, and it started on television in the 1950s, and it's going till now, and it's very, very hush of. And like it had only two or three moderators in its whole history, because it's hush of. Like they pick someone to be the moderator that's a very well thought out, articulate, calm, serious, dignified person. So the last 20 or so odd years, it was the fellow Tim Russert. And everybody liked him. Everybody. He died 3 weeks ago. He died. Tim Russert's sudden death reminds us that this can be a naive conceit. Russert altered his diet, lost weight, exercised vigorously, took medication to lower cholesterol and blood pressure, and died in a moment at the age of 58. In addition to his physical attempts to stay healthy, Rossert had an excellent family relations, a fulfilling career, long-lasting friendships, a passion for life, all the emotional armature that epidemiologists describe as formulas for longevity. New studies have just revealed the discrepancy between lowering blood sugar in diabetics and preventing strokes and heart attacks. Though conventional wisdom would have predicted that diabetics would do better with decreasing blood sugar as much as possible, the opposite turned out to be true. And patients suffered higher levels of stroke and heart disease than those whose sugar levels were not as drastically reduced. For generations, ulcers were thought to be the byproduct of stress, until a skeptical researcher proved that bacteria was the culprit. The French diet of high fat and red wine is another surprising indicator that not enough is understood about how the body metabolizes food and what other factors affect heart disease and life expectancy. It is not a disservice to urge people to clean up sloppy eating habits and get out and exercise. But just as not everyone who studies hard will get A's in school, not everyone who lives clean will live long or remain healthy. Many young people with terminal illnesses who do just as much as Chris Carr to minimize their risks will be vanquished by their disease. And there will always be the Winston Churchills who eat wrong, drink to excess, chain smoke, eschew exercise, suffer from depression, and make it to their 90s. It may turn out, her final sentence is, that there is indeed much more in our stars. No one's going to say Hashem. It may turn out that there is indeed much more in our stars and in our genes, our microorganisms, than healthful habits or living in the moment can control. So I saw that. I said, you know, this is what we were talking about, really. And really, her point is, and she doesn't say, therefore, you know, it's all silly, it's all nourish, you're wasting your time. She says, you know, you got to calm down. America, she says, well, let's call it the self-help capital of the world. We like to think that we could control our lives by eating right and exercising right. She says, you know, it's not true. For every Chris Carr that does all those things and lives with a terminal disease, there's a Tim Russert who did everything right, and he died in 1 second at the age of 58. So I thought that was... I don't know. It's worthwhile to read. So what's the lesson? So then I sat down and I said, let's make believe we're at a shir, and as much as the Chavis Halvavis is trying to be real, and Perek Dalet is trying to be real, he's saying the first three prakim were theory. Let's get real. How do you apply it to life? But it's very, you know, as much as he's trying, there's like huge gaps, as everyone here in the shir is realizing. There's huge gaps to our lives. You know, there's so much gray area, and how do you apply what the Chavis Halvavis is applying? How do you apply that to the applications of our lives? So I sat down and we were talking last week. So I came up with three points that I think are major guidelines. Now, they're not going to cover every situation. And Chavis Halvavis happens to point out in Shar Avodas Elokim that one of the beauties of Chavis Halvavis, as opposed to Chavis HaEvarim, is that in Chavis HaEvarim, there's a certain robotic nature to it, and everybody's the same. And you look around, and I'm keeping Shabbos, and my neighbor's keeping Shabbos. And I'm eating kosher, and my neighbor's eating kosher, and we're all, you know, and like sometimes you feel like I'm caught in this cookie cutter box. Maybe you don't feel that way. But, you know, and the Chavis Halvavis says on Shara Avodas Elokim, that's the beauty of Chavis Halvavis. In lathe, everybody's different. That's where you find your relationship with Hashem. That's where you define who you are and what you are. You have two people keeping Shabbos. To one, it's sleeping and eating cholent, and dealing with the kids, trying to give them something to do. And you know, and then to the, and just you're not doing malacha. Okay, this is muktzah, and you're not allowed to turn on the light. And oh no, what do I do? We left the bulb in the refrigerator. What do I do now? It's just you know, you got all these rules, and if we, you know, there's no Shabbos toilet paper. What are we gonna do? But and then to another person, Shabbos. You know, whoa, Shabbos. You sing Zmiros and you hear Kiddush. And you're inspired, and you really relate to what Shabbos is all about. So, two people could be keeping Shabbos outwardly, robotically, and cookie cutter. But he says that's the beauty of Chavis Halvados, that there's no cookie cutter in Judaism. Everyone's lathe is different. It's how you relate to what Shabbos is all about, the message of Shabbos. What's my point here? Chavis Halvados says it in Shara Avodas Elokim about the lathe aspect of Chovas HaEvorim. Even things that are actions, Shabbos, Kashrus, Tznius, you know, things. But he says the beauty is that that's not really what Yiddishkeit's all about. He says, I'm not afraid to quote him, that's what he says. It's all about the lathe. That doesn't mean you could negate and, you know, be lenient and loose about the cookie cutter aspects. And he explains why. Maybe one day we'll learn Shara Avodas Elokim. He gives a practical and a philosophical and a theological explanation why it's so important to make sure you keep all the mitzvahs and you don't try to cut corners, saying that the main thing is the lathe. But when push comes to shove and you've already, you're keeping all the mitzvahs, because of course you have to, he says, I got news for you. The main thing's the lathe. That stuff is just, for whatever reason, it has to exist. But the main thing is the lathe. That's what it's all about. So if he says it about the lathe part of Chovas HaEvorim, so certainly in something that the whole thing is Chovas HaLevavos, Bitachon, right? Bitachon, the whole thing is lathe. There are no actions that, I can't point to one thing and say, you're not allowed to do this because it's no Bitachon. You have to do this because Bitachon. Every person has to work on themselves and, you know, decide on their own level of how much bitachon they have and how they're able to feel the bitachon. So, why am I saying this? Anything I say, I can't cover everybody's situation, and I can't give a Shulchan Aruch as much as I'm going to try to, but it's really just guidelines, because I didn't feel comfortable this week. I felt I don't want to walk away with so much vagueness, so I want to be less vague. But realize that I can't, I'm not, this is not a Hilchos Shabbos here where I say, you know, you're not allowed to, you know, you're not allowed to salt the vegetables, you know, a few hours before the meal. You know, I can't point to things and say, this is mutter, this is usser. Realize that. So, that's the Hakdama, really. Okay, now, so I thought about it, and I said, you know, really, it's really very simple guidelines. If you're convinced, I took a wrong turn last week, I realized. If you're convinced that something's unhealthy, then you're not allowed to do it. The fact that you are, that you have fallen into the trap of passing fed, or of an alarmist report that you read on the internet about how dangerous it is to eat XYZ. If you're convinced that it's dangerous and it's unhealthy to eat this kind of meat or these kinds of vegetables or what have you, then it's not something to do with bitachon. Then you should follow that, no matter what. Now, the inyan of whether or not you should, what I said last week, you should have a doctor that you trust who doesn't have an agenda, that's not bitachon. That's intelligence and common sense. In other words, don't be foolish and listen to people with agendas and follow fads. And the guy wrote a thing, and he made a study, but that's nothing to do with bitachon. That has to do with your intelligence, your common sense. And if you want to be foolish, or if you want to be intelligent, if you want to be skeptical, if you want to That's all. That has nothing to do with pitochem. If you are convinced it's unhealthy, then it's not a chisaron bitochem to follow that lifestyle. So that's guideline number one. The issue of whether or not you should be convinced of that it's unhealthy is not an inyan of bitochem or not. It's an inyan of common sense. And if you decide what medical advice you'll listen to, and you know you have to use your seichel, but that's not bitachon. It's common sense whether or not it's taka unhealthy. So again, that's guideline one. Let me say guideline two, and then if there's questions, I'll ask about it. The second guideline is that there are things that are not. I'll say, well, I know it's not unhealthy, but it gives me an edge. It gives me an edge on being healthy. That's the right word, right? It gives me an edge. So there already you say, well, so but where does bitachon come in? You know, it's just an edge. If it's unhealthy, if I'm convinced it's unhealthy, even if I'm foolish, if I'm silly, if I'm listening to some quack on the radio who has the 2 a.m. slot and and that's the only slot he could get. I'm remembering from America, I used to drive back from New York sometimes at 2 in the morning. You put on there talking about UFOs and folks. They were usually on WOR. All the nuts went there. So if you want to believe it, then it's not a chesaron b'tochen. If you happen to believe it, it's not a chesaron b'tochen. Follow it. You know, you may be foolish, but fine. Something that just gives you an edge, and you yourself are, you know, it's not dangerous, but it'll give me an edge. You know what that's like? That's like what the Chovas Halvavos will be discussing in another few paragraphs, and we'll get up to it, Mirtz Hashem, in the future. Here he's talking about the essentials of life. Then he goes into the next topic. What about if a person wants to be rich? Person wants to live beyond bare essentials. And those bare essentials, Hashem decides if I'm going to live or die. So he'll take care of the bare essentials also. And it's easy for me to focus on Hashem. But what about that extra edge? He talks about it in terms of money. What about that extra edge? I want to keep the store open another 4 hours because I want to have a good life and I want to afford things I can't afford. How much is Hashem involved in that? So that's really what this health thing is too. The health thing beyond being unhealthy really should wait until we learn the Chovas Halvavos when he talks about that. That's what I realize. It's that inyan, except he talks about it in terms of money, not in terms of health. He talks about wanting that extra edge, wanting to live. Should I say, well, if Hashem wants me to be rich, I'll be rich. And if not, there's nothing I can do about it. Or is there the human element where Hashem says you will live, and now I'm going to decide how rich I'm going to be? He talks about that. That's a different topic than what he's talking about here, which is, he says, bare essentials, no contest, nothing to talk about. It's up to Hashem if you're going to live or die. So if it's unhealthy, but then he says, but then there's a shtablus. You're not allowed to do something unhealthy. You're not allowed to put yourself in sakana. But let me go back to the edge business. I will say what I said last week, that, and we'll learn that. If it doesn't affect your budget, if it doesn't affect your lifestyle, if you're not making your children and your husband crazy, and, you know, if it's a smooth, you know, you buy these vegetables instead of those, and it doesn't break your budget, then you know, so that's one way, that's one scenario. The other scenario, which is indeed a problem, is if you know it's not unhealthy. But by the way, when I say you know it's not unhealthy, it gives you an edge. I don't mean chas v'shalom that it makes you feel better. That's not what I mean. If it makes you feel better, it makes you feel better. If you know that when you jog around the block and you exercise for a half hour a day, you have more energy when it comes 5 o'clock at night. That's not bitachon. That's essentials. That's basic health. That's not. When I say it gives you an edge, it's this kind of stuff. You know, yeah, you're gonna live longer. Are you really? You know, and you're convinced that you're going to live longer. and it's going to give you an edge, not in feeling better, but it's going to give you an edge in your general health, in terms of longevity, in terms of your sticking around, you know. So that's a problem. That's indeed a bitachon problem. So what's the difference if you go out of your way, if it breaks your budget or not? So I want to wait. I'm putting that on hold. That when we learn the paragraphs about a person trying to be rich, a person trying to go beyond essentials, how does that, how do you apply bitachon to that situation? A person says, I want to go into this business because I want to be rich, and if I just open a store, I'm gonna make ends meet, but that's it. But I want to be rich, so I'm gonna go into this line of business. I'm gonna go into computer programming, or I'm gonna go into investing, or I'm gonna go into whatever, because I want to be rich. So how does that jive with bitachon? I mean, does Hashem want you to be rich or not? Can a person become rich by opening a store too? Like, or it's just not likely, but it's possible. And plenty of people have gone into investing and are now, you know, turning to Laman Achai and to Kubushal Staka, you know, to make ends meet. So those are the basic guidelines. I realized that in essentials, if unhealthy, it's not bitachon. If you think it's unhealthy, go for it. Maybe you're foolish. Maybe you're pessy. you fall for every passing fear. But that's not an inyan bitachon. It's an inyan of intelligence. To get the edge, like this lady talked about, she really, I liked it. So then it could become an inyan. It is an inyan bitachon, and it belongs in this category, in the topic of trying to be rich, trying to go beyond beers, trying to go beyond making ends meet. Yeah.
So I have two questions. First of all, the edge that she's talking about, though, is that these people who are sick, like this woman who was diagnosed with cancer, so there are studies that show that change of diet and lifestyle can help. So isn't that something that she
her point is? I read this a few times because I said to myself, well, what's her point? Because her point is not to become enamored and not to put too much stock in it. And if she'd be Jewish, her last line would have been, it turns out that there is indeed much more in Hashem and in Bitachon than in our...
But the point is not to put too much stock in it, but I don't think the point is that you shouldn't...
Well, that's why she's careful to say. It's not a disservice to urge people to clean up sloppy eating, how to get out and exercise, but... Realize it's not the be all and end all.
But there is a reason to do it. If a person is not well,
let's say my wife, I'm overweight. I know, I'm not really, but let's make believe I am. And my wife badgers me about it constantly. You know, and at some point it becomes nagging, even though she means well and she means my health, and it's really unhealthy to be the way I am. But at some point, you know, we apply this. And we say, you know, there's plenty of people in perfect shape who just drop dead. And there's plenty of overweight people who are 90. Now, that doesn't say, so it's okay, and therefore continue the way you are. We don't say that. We say, therefore, there's some point, I'm not going to become a nag. Because it's not worth it. We have bitachon. And so it's not like, so if we wouldn't have bitachon, we say, oh my goodness, he's crossing a highway with his eyes closed and there's traffic coming in both directions. I don't care if he calls me a nag. I'm not going to let him do this, right? But it's not that, since we don't look at it as that level, so of course it's not good. I'm being very personal now. Of course it's not good. But then you reach a point where, okay. Okay?
But if a person decides to undertake upon themselves because they're not well, it's not the edge.
Oh yes.
If a person isn't well, like
if the doctor says I know, yeah.
So it may not help, but there's a chance, there's a pure chance, that's 8% out of what, you know, that it will help.
This lady obviously led a more meaningful life because of the way she decided to react to her terminal disease. than someone who just throws up their hands and says, you know, I'm just counting the days till they carry me out on a, you know, in Tachrichim. The point is, like, you know, she went on Oprah, and like, I think the columnist's point was, Americans, I see it in the shul, like, with all due respect, you're wonderful people, the shul, but like, I see this belief, like, there's almost a naive belief. Like, I laugh, sorry. Like, you know, what's his name? I forgot his name now. His name escapes me. He's a Jew. He writes, he's a kind of conservative Jew, Nebuch. Very, very intelligent guy. He writes columns. Okay, his name slips me for the moment. He wrote, there's only two Averis left in America. There's only two sins. America, you can do anything you want. There's only two sins left. Being judgmental of someone else, that's one sin, and smoking. You know, it's like it became, I know smoking is dangerous, please, you don't have to tell me, and I don't encourage anybody to smoke, and I just, you know, I know which kids of mine smoke and which don't, and Baruch Hashem, they just basically all stopped now, finally. Yeshiva Bochum will smoke, but, you know, okay. It's like, okay, it's, you understand what I mean? If Bitochum will...
When you're faced with that decision, that's my question. When you're faced with that decision,
whether or not to smoke.
Somebody finds out that they have a certain disease, and they go online and they see that, well, you know, people who had this disease went on this kind of diet and started this kind of exercise program, and it helped. But then they also see that there are people with this disease who tried this and it did not help. So when you're faced with a decision, do I put myself, it's an effort. I would be happy to just go on with my life and let things happen.
I'm saying what you have to do in that case is reach an intelligent, informed, you have to develop an intelligent, informed opinion, and then see if Bitochen applies. If after you do research and you talk to people and you go online, you're convinced that, you know, this is something that's going to be merape me, then it's no longer, it's not in the Bitochen part of life, it's in the Hishtadlus part of life.
Mm-hmm.
So your first achrayus, so it's not Hilchus Bitochen, it's Hilchus intelligence.
So you have to do whatever it takes.
You have to form an opinion. After you've formed an opinion, and if you can't form an opinion, you ask an expert or you ask someone you trust. But that's the first step. If you've come to the conclusion that, yeah, maybe it'll help, maybe it won't help, I'm unconvinced. It seems to be good, but I'm unconvinced, then I say it goes to level two. Then you have to see how it'll affect your family life, how it'll affect your budget, if it'll make everybody crazy, if it'll change your whole life upside down, if your kids will be affected by it, etc., etc., etc. And then you have to make a decision, and part of that decision will be what we will be learning in a few paragraphs about the person that wants to be rich. In other words, you want to beat the odds. You want to do something that may help, but it's not clear-cut. That will come in a few paragraphs. When a person wants to do something that's not clear-cut, he wants to be rich, he wants to go into real estate investments rather than open a grocery store, because he knows Hashem, he has Bitochen, Hashem wants him to live, and he'll live with a grocery store. And if he just stays home and doesn't open a grocery store, he's not going to live, right? That's basic Hishtadlus. But the Chayes of Avos is a major, and you're going to be surprised by the Chayes of Avos' answer. He's not going to answer what you think he's going to answer. How do you deal with that? You say, well, if Hashem wants me to be rich, I'll be rich with a grocery store, right? If Hashem wants me to live, so then I don't have to eat apricot pits, you know. I think that wasn't that later with the cancer, was apricot pits, or I'm mixing it up with something else. For a few years, 20, 30 years ago, there was some extract from apricot pits that everybody thought was the, all the Israeli kids would have become rich.
Yeah.
Okay.
I once heard somebody say, like, something along the lines, you know, the whole trend of getting filters on your water and people who don't buy things with food coloring or MSG. And, like, I once heard somebody say that, like, but if the Misrata Briyot, you know, decides that this is all okay, that the water is fine, that the MSG is fine, that the food colorings are okay. So I thought that was a ridiculous thing to say. But now that I think about it, well, then if my Ishtadlis is really just about being Yotzei, so then maybe that's...
No, because that's my point today. That's what I realized when I thought about it this past week. It's not a question of Bitachon or Ishtadlis. It's a question of intelligence. If you have to first form... You have to form an informed, intelligent opinion about the water without a filter. Saying I'm somech on the Misrata Briyot is not hilchos bitachon, it's hilchos intelligence. You know.
That person's decision.
And if you can't decide, now there will be people who say, I got much better things to do with my life than to do the research necessary to decide if I should get a filter on my water. People are walking around without filters. No one's dropping dead like flies. And therefore, I'm going to be somech on the Misrata Briyot. You know, so, okay, that's not bitach. We haven't reached yet the question of bitach and Ishtadlis. First comes, you know, is it a busy highway that I'm crossing with my eyes closed or not? Or, you know, so if a person becomes convinced that organic vegetables will make a difference in their health, then it's normal hishtadlus. If I said differently last week, I'm changing my mind. Then your hishtadlus demands that you buy organic vegetables, if you are so convinced. The mistake, if you're making a mistake, is in seichel, not in pilchus bitachon. Okay, clear. Okay. Okay, so the Chavis Aldovas reiterates the inyan of Ishtadlus, and then he talks about doing things that are harmful to you and to oneself, and he talks about now, he says how bad it is to commit suicide. I said it last week, but let's learn it inside. Osha Yovad, you know, he may harm himself. The Nimtza Shehoregas Atzmo, if he harms himself, if he didn't do the proper hishtadlus, what a person is obligated to do, and he harms himself, Hashem will... It's a chait. It's a sin. That is a sin, as much of a sin as if he killed someone else. A very strong statement. If you do something unhealthy, it's as much of a sin as if you damage or hurt or kill someone else. If a person dies young, and it turns out that he was living unhealthy, and that was, he didn't do his shtadlus, he was doing things that are really not healthy, Hashem considers it like suicide, and the person will have to answer for it. Even though, of course, on a certain level, there was a gzeira from Shemayim, but that gets us into the old question. Anytime Reuven murders Shimon, right, there was a gzeira in Shemayim that Shimon should die at that point in time. But that doesn't excuse Reuven from his deed. So if a person dies because he's not healthy, he wasn't careful, he caught pneumonia, chas v'shalom, whatever, so he's going to have to answer for it. Even though there was a gzeira that he should die at that point in time, but that's like Shimon who died at that point in time and Reuven murdered him. And he says, just like there's an issur lo sirtzach, not to kill someone else, then he says an interesting concept. He says, I wouldn't have thought so. He is a big chiddush. He says, I would say, well, sirtzach is sirtzach. I'm not going to kill anybody. The Chavis Halvoda says, it's more of an aveira. I'm not even sure what words to use. It's more of an avla. It's a more serious aveira if a person kills someone that's close to them. And he brings down a pasuk in Amos, Al Rotfel Bacherev Ochiv V'Shiches Rachamov. If you murder someone that's close to you, there's an achzorius. It's a bigger sin. You show more of an achzorius. The midah the flaw in midos, really, is this remarkable because I love us. He says it's a more serious sin because you exhibit more character flaw. If you turn around and he's talking about murdering, or I say harming someone you're close to, you betray someone that trusts you, you damage someone that you are close to, you ignore a bond that you have with a person and you damage him or her, that's a bigger avera. Because, and I'm explaining what he's saying, because it bespeaks a more serious character flaw. It comes from a deeper place. It's a deeper flaw. And a deeper flaw is a bigger avera. Certainly in Ben Adam HaChavero, it's that way. And therefore, who is a person closest to? Himself. So v'chein ha'orig es atzmo, chayiv onesh kosha, v'yisurin chamurin, b'li sofek. This is the worst. This is a good thing to tell your kids when they go outside without a coat. They don't want to eat the vegetables. Tell them the Chagat says, if you go to your friend and you punch him in the nose, if you punch a stranger in the nose, it's terrible. If you punch your best friend in the nose, it's even worse. But if you punch yourself in the nose, that's the worst. Hashem considers that the biggest avera. So if you act unhealthily, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. That's what you're playing with. You're playing with the most intense, a more intense avera than if you have someone else. I think we naturally think otherwise. We think, I'm not going to hurt someone else, but myself. It's my life. I'll do what I want. Chagat says, no. You're closest to yourself. So it's the biggest avla if you harm yourself. Because you're not independent. We think of ourselves. We're not independent. We are emissaries of Hashem. Hashem put us on this world to perform a task. Lefishu doma zeh le'eved. If the master gives the servant, he says, here, I'm giving you something to watch. Watch this for the next 10 years. Right? And he doesn't. After 9 years, he throws it away. Or the master gives him something to watch, and he says, watch it until someone comes to pick it up from you. Right? And his nimshel is the Malach HaMavis. Right? Watch this neshama until someone comes to pick it up from you. And the person doesn't come. The Malach HaMavis doesn't come. So you play around with it. You figure. You don't watch it. The Adon's going to get very upset. So someone who harms himself, who kills himself, it's really a terrible, terrible thing. Now, this means if you do it willingly and knowingly, the poskim assume, many times that people in a depression, they're not treated as people that committed suicide. People that are in a depression, people that are not fully, fully aware of what they're doing. He's talking about the guy that's standing on the bridge and saying, "I can't take it anymore. Life is too hard." Ulafikach. So he says,
"How many happy people then? How many people then would commit suicide if they were happy?"
Not unhappy.
Who is it talking about?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. The truth is that the poskim nowadays, it's very rare. A suicide you're not supposed to bury in a cemetery. He's treated, The poskim for the last few hundred years basically treat every suicide as a mental illness. And they say, probably. This is talking about, we don't have to talk about suicide. Chavisov is really talking about living unhealthily. He's talking about hishtadlus in not crossing a busy street. He's talking about putting bars on your window. He's talking about nowadays, I would say, wearing seatbelts. Now that it's become a societal norm, so I think it's taka. Now it's like putting bars on your windows. So not crossing against the light on a busy street. So he's very strong that Hashem will have kindness to you if you're not careful about your health, if you're not careful about how you live. He gives such an extreme example. It's really, Shmuel Hanavi says to Hashem, Eilech, Hashem sends him on a shlichus to David, to make David the king. And he says, how can I go? V'shom Shaul the Harogani. Shaul's gonna kill me for going. Shaul will consider it a rebellion against the king if I go now and make David the new king. How can I go? Now Hashem told him to go. So the Chavis Alvava says, whoa, bitachon, like this is bitachon in spades. Hashem told him to go. What is he arguing with Hashem? I'm not gonna go, it's dangerous. Hey, David. Hey, Shmuel, I mean. Shmuel, you know, this is me talking. Nowhere do we find that he was taken to task for a lack of bitachon. And I'm adding, lack of bitachon. Hashem told him to do it directly. You can't get any, you know, more powerful than that. And Hashem said an eitzah. Hashem showed him that his concern was valid. Hashem said, okay, let's do this trick. We'll make a spiel. You'll take a carbon with you, and you'll make believe that you're going to bring a carbon, and the whole parsha. V'ilu hoyu b'kach migreus b'tchono, if it was a chisor in b'tochon, Hashem should have told him, you know, ani omez va'achaye. He even quotes a pasuk in Dvarim. Hashem should have told him, I'm in charge of life. Shaul's not going to hurt you unless I allow him to. How dare you be worried? You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go to Mitzrayim, he said, B'nai Yisrael won't listen to me because I don't talk well. Hashem remonstrated with Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said, Mison Pela Odom, Umi Yosim Cheresh, O Elaim, right? What are you? You're telling me that you're not going to succeed because you don't speak well. I'm the one in charge. So why didn't Hashem talk like that to Shmuel? Yes, the Chavis all love us. Shmuel says, I'm a little nervous. You know, Shaul's going to kill you. What? I'm telling you to go. What are you afraid of? I'm here to protect you. I'm not going to. No, because it was dangerous. And Hashem therefore responded, a tremendous lima. It's interesting. The Gemara uses this episode to show, the Gemara says, Shluchei mitzvah einam nizokin. If you're going to do a mitzvah, you won't be harmed. So the Gemara points to this story. So the Gemara answers, because Shchiyah chazeka shayni, because it's dangerous. If it's dangerous, then you don't use that rule of Shluchei mitzvah einam nizokin. If it's on the surface dangerous. The Gemara uses it as a principle to combat the rule of Shluchei mitzvah einam nizokin. The Chavis Halvavos, I don't know if it's a kasha on the Chavis Halvavos or not a kasha, he uses it for a much more fundamental principle. He uses it for explaining Hishtadlus. He says, you know, that's Shluchei mitzvah einam nizokin. Hashem told him to go. Where's your bitachon? Where's your bitachon? He says, because it's dangerous. He says, it's dangerous. It was a dangerous situation. And Hashem agreed with him. When Hashem answered him, we'll do this little, we'll put on a little spiel, we'll put on a play, we'll make believe. So Hashem agreed that he's right. A person, not he's right. Hashem said, you're right, you have a good point, it's dangerous. You have a good point, okay? Your words are correct. You're not allowed to do a dangerous thing. Now, I don't know. You know, we could speculate. If Shmuel would have said, okay, I'll go. You know, I'll go. I don't know. It would have been wrong, apparently. He would have been doing the wrong thing. Then Shmuel, with his sitkis, if he didn't feel confident enough that he's going to enter a situation where Hashem told him to do something because it's dangerous, Kol Shekein, it's certainly an evil, it's certainly an incorrect, inappropriate thing when Hashem didn't tell you to do something to make believe you have bitachon and you're going to do a dangerous thing. So you can't expect Hashem's protection, you can't expect bitachon. Let me just finish up, please give me an extra 2 minutes, please, be Michael. He says, and if you are saved from a dangerous situation, you're going to lose your schusim, you're going to lose from your olam haba. It's going to come off of your merits. It means Hashem essentially made a nace for you. You may not call it a nace, but if you cross the highway, if you run across the highway, and you don't look both ways, And now in Yerushalayim, you got a lot of streets, highways that are so dangerous. Whoa, it's like both ways. I was almost hit by a bus. I wasn't careful. It was around a month ago. I stepped off the curb, and I didn't cross on the crosswalk. I was in a rush, as I always am. And I crossed, and I forgot that it's a two-lane highway. And I was almost hit by a bus. So what the Chassid Lubavitcher said, if I have any merits, I now have that much less. That's what he says. That's what happened. If you're saved from such a situation, so there it was even, I noticed it because the bus honked the horn, and I, Baruch Hashem, reacted in time, and I jumped back onto the curb. But he's talking, even if that wouldn't have happened, even if nothing would have happened to me, but I didn't look. I'm not talking about if you look and there's no cars coming, so you cross. I'm talking about if you don't look and you run across and nothing happened, there were no cars coming down, you consider that you're katonti nikol achasodim, and you have to be, you should know what happened is that Hashem takes it off your bank account of schusim. So anything that you do dangerous, so now you give good musa to your children or your husbands if they do something dangerous. It's musar. It's wrong al pi hashkafa. Chavis Halvavu says it's wrong. It's hashkafically wrong. You're doing an avera and you're going against the will of Hashem. Okay. So next week we're going to start indeed. Next week when I have Shavuot Brachos. I have to go to Taka. We'll learn it in Mitzvah Hashem in 2 weeks. We'll continue and we get into the